From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Now, Garth, I rushed into the studio. Mm-hmm. Just finished our dinner off.
You did?
I'm still feeling a bit peckish.
Really?
I am. And I thought I might just grab a couple of snacks before okay. we get into the games, because games and snacks go well together.
Do they ever?
So I thought I'd try some Andean biscuits. I might follow that up with some Alhambra cheese sandwiches.
Okay.
With railroad tycoon cheese. Then I was going to try the Katanduri chicken.
Yeah.
And then I think I'd go for a Peking's bird duck.
Okay. What are you going to have for dessert?
I think I'm going to be full there.
Yeah.
If you think you've come to the place with the most abysmal puns around, you have. It's The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. I'm Mark.
I'm Garth, and I'm appalled as well. That was awful. I can see why you didn't want to spoil that opening for me.
So it's episode 88.
It is.
On what day
is it? The 8th of October.
On the 8th.
Yeah, so we got all the 8s today.
We've got 8888.
Exactly right. But what are we playing? What are we talking about? What are we doing?
What are we talking about, Garth?
Well, as tradition dictates, we will be talking about what we've been playing this week, which is a great game that I've only just bought. We're also going to take a little step back in time to my gaming history and have a chat about the games that were sort of came out and were most important when I first started playing a whole bunch of really cool games. And then we're also going to finish the chat that you completely dominated.
I
you
did
wouldn't
a bit,
let me
I?
Have any words in. When I was about to start talking, you just gave me the wind-up, said 30 seconds, and cut the episode. So we're going to talk about Board Game Arena.
All that.
And some more.
And more before we are real gone. Yeah, that was Sheryl Crow from the Cars soundtrack
movie.
Album. I love that movie. My kids love that movie. That was the track Real Gone. You're with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with Mark and Garth. And Garth, we've been playing games.
We have, but first of all, I just want to say that introduction was a Star Wars Imperial assault to the senses, and it was eldritch horrible.
You just reminded me, I meant to mention Imperial Salt and Pepper Squid, but hey, you can only have so many great food puns.
No, yeah, but not many. All right, so what have we been playing this week? We have been playing a game that someone with eagle eyes would have noticed we've put up on Twitter, and we've put a little bit, I think, even on our Facebook page.
Yes.
It's a game that I want to say thank you to you, Mark, and to Carl, and to friend of the show, Dave, who all banded together, and they paid me with gift vouchers for my birthday.
We gave you a birthday present, that's right.
So I turned that seemingly innocuous gift of some gift vouchers into lifetime memories. So what we played this week is a classic in our gaming world. It first was released in 1982.
Wow, were you born then?
I was.
I was well and truly born then.
I lived through the 70s. They were best 3 months of my life.
Stop!
So we went to the pub and we played Survive Escape from Atlantis. And it was the 30th anniversary edition. So this game is almost older than me. Not quite. However, it's a classic. It's been around for a long, long time, as we say. So the 30th edition was, not surprisingly, released in 2012. It's designed originally by Julian Cortland Smith, and this one is presented by, on the box. It's published by Stronghold, this version, although you have a look at the Board Game Geek page, and there must have been at least 8 to 10 different publishers over the 30 years.
A lot of
years.
Different versions,
Look, it plays 2 to 4, although there are expansions to take it up to 6. It says it only takes 60 minutes plus, but ours was quite a bit above that plus. I guess it was the first time for me anyway. But it's also an incredibly well-regarded game. It is the family game ranked number 22 on Board Game Geek. So it's got a lot of really good, feedback from a lot of people who've been playing it. It says it plays 8 plus. I reckon you could play a little bit younger than that, which, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But anyway, what do you do in this game? Now, what I really like about this game, first of all you're doing is you are going to be controlling 10 little people, and they have certain values on them, values 1 through to 6 on the base of the people but you can only look at them at the start of the game. During the whole rest of the game, you're not allowed to. And all you're trying to do is get these people off this sinking island. Get them to safety. Get them through the treacherous waters onto the other islands or the land. You're obviously trying to escape from Atlantis, which is sinking. Board game setup is a breeze. You open up this beautiful large board and there are 40 hexes. Now, these hexes represent the three terrain types that are going to be on your board. You've got beaches, you've got forests, and then you've got the mountains. And really cleverly, and I haven't seen it in a lot of other games, the hexes are different thicknesses to represent terrain types. And that was really awesome. It was a surprise because I never knew that that's, you know, how it played. And obviously, one of the first times I opened it was when we pulled it out in the pub only a week or so ago. There are 16 tiles of the beach and the forest. There's 8 of the mountains. And what they are is they're also the timer of the game, as we'll get to in a moment. So board setup, you throw these 40 hexes, randomly place them in the center of the board to make an island. You then place the 5 sea serpents in their designated spots, and they will play a major part of this game. You'll then start with the first player, which you just randomly determine using that awesome app that you have, Mark, or just say, you'll go first. And you go around and you start placing your little meeple people one by one on any of the terrain on the island that you want to. And you go round and round and round around the table until everyone's done that. And then you're finally going to place a couple of boats each. And you can place your boats wherever you want to in the open waters. And they are critical because they are how you are going to get your little people from the big sinking island to the safety of some other islands or at least another bit of land. And that's it. Setup took maybe 5 minutes, and that's with a really impressive number of pieces and a really large board, don't you reckon? I think this game looks really good on the table.
It looks great on the table. It's got the big chunky wooden pieces for the sharks and the sea serpents and the dolphins.
And the whales.
We had our, what did I say? Dolphins. Yes. That's an expansion. We had our waitress in the pub come up and say, oh, wow, I play board games. Let me have a look at this. And then she sort of scratched her head and walked away and said, oh, maybe I'll come back at the end of my shift. And but
she was just being nice to us.
Of course she was. But it draws the eye. It's lovely to look at. Reminds me in some aspects of Eruption.
Yep.
With the tile, the big chunky tiles and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, the multi-thickness tiles make it really lovely to look at, for sure.
Do they ever? And that's great. I just thought it was a really nice touch because I hadn't seen that before. So how do you play this game? It's really, really simple. Even though I know, Mark, you got confused numerous times in the order of the four, count them, four things that you will do on every single turn.
Yes.
Now, we've talked about math in this show quite a bit over the past 88 episodes. Can you count 1 through 4, Mark?
Yeah, I can, but sometimes I get confused about the order.
Clearly. So let me go through it one more time because there's only these four things you're going to do. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to play a terrain tile, and that's going to... You're going to have the option of doing that, obviously, with every turn except the very first one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about the effects of that in a moment. You will then also basically be moving your people, and you'll only have 3 total movement that you're allowed to do. You can move any combination of your people, or you can move your ships, but no more than 3 movements. So one is one hex to another hex, one is a ship to another hex tile of the ship, or you can even start swimming if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got a pretty good beach body, so I don't think that that's something you would not want to do. Is that right?
Oh, maybe. We'll see. Depends what's in the water there with me, guys.
Exactly right. Then you get to remove a tile of the terrain. Now, there's only 2 rules that you've got to be able to adhere to. The first one is the tile you remove has to be adjacent to at least a bit of sea.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is they have to be removed in the order beaches, then forests, then mountains.
Yeah.
And conveniently enough, the beaches are nice and thin, so you can easily see those.
And they're yellow.
They are. And they look exactly like a beach.
They do.
So the good thing about these beach tiles is when you take them off, on the reverse side of them, they'll have a whole series of little symbols on them that'll tell you what that tile can do. And that's where, on the start of your next turn, you'll be able to play that tile if you wanted to.
Yeah, like special abilities, different types of special abilities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They come in 3 types. They come in ones that are green bordered, which are just basically you have to play them immediately.
Yeah.
And they would be something where you get to place a shark or a whale. You get to put extra ships on the board. You get to release the whirlpool, which is a whole board of destruction, which is pretty awesome. And they also, one of the tiles, the last ones in the mountain, has a volcano, which basically, as soon as that's flipped, that's end of game.
Yes.
You've then got the red ones, and these are the ones that you'll keep in your hand. So you've got red ones that can be attacking tiles. They will allow you to have a dolphin, which will give you a lot of movement through the ocean.
Mm.
You can basically create, move some ships around the board. You can move the sea serpents, of which they will just wreak havoc with those damn little survivors. You can move the shark, you can move the whale and just destroy other people's boats and what have you. And then the last type is just a red cross on the back, which allows you to basically have a bit of defense up your sleeve.
Yes.
They are ones that cancel someone moving a shark into your piece and trying to nom 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 on your people. Exactly. And then similarly for the whale, to stop people taking a whale and destroying your boat. And they're the only four things you need to do. You need to take a bit of tile. Then what do you need to do, Mark? What's your second step?
Then you need to move a meeple.
Then you need to...
roll the dice?
No, you need to pick up the tile and then you roll the dice.
Oh, that's right. Damn it.
So the rolling the dice is the last bit of the four actions where you roll it. The dice is all about the nastiness. It'll have sea serpents or whales or sharks or what have you. And basically, if you roll a shark, you have to move a shark. If it's a whale, move a whale. And it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And the great thing is it just makes it such an easy, normally, game to teach.
Yeah.
Even to the older people.
Yes, well, as one of those older people, I was lucky enough I had played it before, so it helped me remember some of the rules. But look, I really enjoy this game. It's a great example of a gateway game that is also great to play with established gamers, because you can play it quite strategically if you can remember the numbers on the bottom of the meeples.
What the hell were those numbers? I have no idea.
Let's face it, who can?
Yes.
I'm sure there are some, you know, eidetic memory people out there who managed to memorize them, but once I put them out, it's gone, I'm afraid.
I can generally remember where the first tile is placed, like the first person is put on. Okay, it's on that tile. And then as soon as it moves, it's just gone. Yeah. But I completely agree with you in that it's a gateway game because it is really simple to teach.
Yes.
And that's what's great about it. It looks glorious on the table, so it draws people in like the waitress.
Yes.
It's big and chunky, so there's not too many fiddly bits. It's not text dependent, which is also good.
Exactly.
And those four steps are very simple to do. The order of them might be a bit tricky for some.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what you're actually doing on any given turn is pretty straightforward. And there's no real secret information. So it's not like I have an advantage to say, Mark, you've got to do this in the order. The only thing you've got to do is keep those little tokens, the hexes, secret. So
and
that,
you don't get too many of them at a time.
No, you don't.
So it's not like, oh, I've got this handful of 10 cards and I've got to try and work out, what does that one do? What does that one do? What does that one do?
Yep.
It is quite simple. So there's no daunting... overpowering rules which blow people away.
Yeah.
Yes, those tokens can be quite, you know, like they can really be effective, but they're not massive game changers. They sort of set you back for a turn maybe, or set you forward for a turn if you can use one of the defensive ones. Yeah, look, I really enjoyed it. We had a ball.
Exactly.
I think Carl might have won just.
Yeah, but the score's not the issue, is it?
That's right.
But I like the fact that because it is for all ages, you can play it almost in scales of ruthlessness.
Yeah.
Because with experienced gamers, you will be cutthroat, will be ruthless, you will be manipulating that other player when they turn over the shark tile to move that other person so that his boats get eaten, so the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
We never did that to Carl at all, did
we? No, and you thrive on doing that in every game that I've ever played with you, is that you're constantly manipulating, or at least attempting to, the other players at the table.
Hey,
so.
I'm a salesman, I can't help it.
Exactly, but it looks great on the table.
And you can play with kids, as you said, and without the nastiness.
And I think the theme is completely appropriate. You know, it's going to be rejigged for a space theme that's coming out later on this year, probably in the next month or so, which is fantastic and another testament to how good the game goes. The hardest part for me is certainly remembering the numbers on the bottom of the people. So there's got to be a strategy around remembering those, you know, 5 and 6 point people on there just to try and get them to safety.
Or maybe normal people don't have the lack of short-term memory that people like us who abuse alcohol do have. I don't know.
I think it's...
Where was I going with that?
Yeah, I have no idea. But the only other thing which is also cool is the swimming, you know, because the swimming, you can only ever move that person once in any given turn. So, because... Yep. I don't know if you know this, Mark, but swimming is generally slower than walking.
Yes.
So that works well. And look,
for some people.
Yeah, and the different sea monsters. The sea monsters are basically destruction. The sharks will only eat people if they're in the water. The whales will only destroy the boats.
Yeah.
And look, I guess some of the tough thing was when you've got a random hex tile placement, for us, we had a period in the game where there was one boat out.
Yeah.
And that was all because on the other side of the hexes are where some of the boats will be released, and they just happened to all be in one little collection.
Although
there.
I am sure... the other couple of games of this I've played, probably a similar thing happened to in the middle of the game, because you're using the boats at the start. Of course, you then target the boats.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, it's like there's no boats and you're hanging out for that boat card to be flipped over.
Mm.
Of course, then everyone wants to grab that boat when it's empty and anyone can.
Yep.
And then they quickly get trashed again. So the boats do get very scarce towards the end. And now, do I remember there's an expansion to this with a Kraken or something?
Yeah, there is. There's quite a few expansions. But yeah, there is some 5 and 6 player ones. There's Giant Squid, which is pretty awesome. And yeah, I'm sure I've seen that there is a little Kraken there in one of the expansions.
I think that might be in the Giant Squid one.
You reckon?
Also known as a Kraken.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's fantastic. That's a Survive Escape from Atlantis. We loved it. We had a ball with it. We're going to walk on back in a minute with some more great gaming chat. I'm loving those Dave Grohl beats from the Foo Fighters with Walk on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh with Garth and Mark. Now, Garth, I think we've mentioned it already, but... Look, I do owe you a little bit of an apology because I did sort of, maybe, monopolise a bit our conversation about playing board games online last week. And I talked about yucata.de, yucata.de, where I love to play games.
So you've just done it again.
Did I tell you there's 108 games on there, Garth?
Well, I must say, it's nice that you spelt it correctly this time because I think last week you did spell it U. A-C.
Y-U-C-A-T-A?
No, you said U, I think, last week.
You think
Anyway, not important. One of our friends, Steve O'Rourke from New York, listened to the podcast and couldn't find out how to get on the website because someone sponsored it. Anyway.
Sorry, Steve-O.
But that's okay.
Garth,
yes.
Why don't you tell us more about BoardGameArena.com.
You mean something about?
You told us a little bit about it last week.
So yes, in the 1 minute that I had last week, of which 30 seconds was wind up. I've been playing quite a bit of Board Game Arena. I do have to say thank you to you, Mark, because you did first introduce this website to me.
My pleasure, Garth.
In all that is board gaming goodness, you just keep it on spreading the word.
Well, and look, I like to have many varied forms of way that I can beat people at games. Although, having said that, you win your fair share, Garth, I must say.
I do, but it's not about winning. especially when, well, we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah.
But look, anyway, what is Board Game Arena? Board Game Arena is a browser-based online board gaming website. It's all about board games. It's very, very easy. It is BoardGameArena.com.
Mm.
It's not a combination of Y's and U's and .de's that just... I couldn't figure it out at all.
Yeah.
So it's also all in English, which is great. It does advertise itself as the number one world's biggest online board gaming website, which is fantastic. Although it also does confuse and spell board games with two words, board gaming in one word. So I don't even know whether there's a correct way to do it, but it doesn't really matter. I'm just sure that that's because they are based in Eastern Europe. So it might be a little bit of a language barrier.
The great thing is you can discover new board games.
Exactly.
You can play at your own pace and you can compete against the world. That's what it says right there
on
the website. Right.
And how much does it cost, Mark? It costs
nothing.
Money because it is free.
Nothing.
And that is something I particularly am very, very grateful for.
However, some generous people like myself do sign up and pay a little bit of money. And when you do, you can actually get to see a whole bunch of statistics about
your games
and stuff.
And we'll get to that in a moment because, that's going to be the small percentage of people who are so wealthy that they can spend their hard-earned euro.
Yes, that's right.
But this site, I just found it really, really straightforward. And I did mention briefly last week that you just easily can sign in with Facebook, which some people like doing, some people don't. I sign in through Facebook and I have not had one notification. I haven't any advertising, which is great. So I'm comfortable doing that.
Me too.
Yep.
Same.
Excellent. You get to play the couple of different ways that Yucata also allows you, which is turn-based or real-time, which is, fantastic because if you've got that half an hour, 45 minutes to kill, you can jump in and almost certainly there's going to be someone there wanting to play a game of something with you really, really quickly.
And I think I do like how on Board Game Arena, you choose whether it's a real-time game or a turn-based game,
mm.
although there's no real difference in how it works. I guess it's just the expectation, whereas with Yukata, there's only one way.
Yep.
People will say, I want to play this real-time. Then some loser from the other side of the world can decide halfway through the game, oh, I'm not doing very well here, and they go away and don't take their turn.
Ah.
Because there's no mechanism of, okay, you've only got a certain amount of time,
yeah, okay.
and then it kicks them out.
Yeah, well, this one has, as I say, in the turn-based version, which is the way that I've played almost every one of the games. There's only been a couple that I've played in real time. But turn-based, you get a certain amount of time, and then after you've exhausted that, you get booted from the game.
Yes.
And that's left up to the other players, because every single turn from the moment you've exceeded your time limit, at the top of the screen, there'll be, this player has missed it. Do you want to keep playing? Or you can quit without any penalty. And penalty is quite important, especially if you are one of the contributing members, because it does affect your ranking, which, I don't know, could be important for some people.
I don't know.
But it is been around for a fair old while. It's almost at 5 years now. It's 5 years old in December,
Ooh.
Which, you know, it's got a bit of pedigree. It's all done by volunteers.
Yeah.
That's why it's great to have some people donating money, because that helps fund the servers and all the work mm-hmm. that goes involved into it, because it is really extensive. But it all comes down to what games have they got.
Yeah.
So they've got some classics. They've got the chess. They've got hearts. They've got backgammon. They've got all those staples, which I'm sure a lot of people love. But for me, they've got some of my favourites there. The one that I've played more than any other is Race for the Galaxy.
Yes.
Now, what a great way to be able to play this game without all the fiddly setup, without all the teardown, without all the end-of-game scoring, which can be a bit of a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And the great thing is the art is exactly what you get on the cards. Now, it's just the base game. They don't have any of the expansions, which I think is a good thing.
Some could argue that's a very good thing, yeah.
But it's fantastic. Probably my only criticism is that the text on the cards is a little bit small, but you hover your mouse over it and it expands mm-hmm. so you can see that. They've also got Puerto Rico. Now, I've played more online Puerto Rico than I have actual physical Puerto Rico.
Yes.
The first game I played, I beat both you and Carl, which I'll take every day because that was awesome. But that was just a classic. I mean, the fact that it's on there, and I've probably got 2 to 3 games of that going nonstop every time.
Yeah, and like we said with a lot of these, it's a great way to learn. If you've got people that are patient with you, it's a great way to learn these full-on games. And in fact, I think the way that I discovered Board Game Arena was I discovered that they had Through the Ages, that great Vlada Hvatl game from Czech Games, that you have to play like a training game and then a second training game and then a third training game before you play the full version. And so, you know, that's hours and hours and hours of gaming. Whereas on this site, you can play a very easy to read version and you play it turn by turn.
Yes.
And so you can play it over days. A good friend of mine, Leo, and I used to play this game, and, you know, we would get bored in the evening and we might knock off a game in a couple of days, or we might take 2 weeks to play a game.
Yeah. And that's the joy of it, is that with the, I guess, the turn-based scenario, there is no expectation to have you turn right there and then, so that the pacing is regulated by the timer, which is great. Some of the other really good games, new stuff, Cult Express. You know, Cult Express.
Latest Spiel des Jahres winner.
Yeah. Now, I'm only halfway through my first game of it, but it looks fantastic. It's got the 3D board, you know, so you can move your little robbers up and down the train, and it looks pretty fantastic. Quantum, which I mentioned a couple of episodes ago in our dice game episode, is a brilliant implementation. It has dozens and dozens of board layouts, all from, I think, 2 to 5 players. Yeah. So you can get a whole bunch of scenarios going there, which is fantastic.
A couple of other classic dice games that we mentioned in our dice game episode. Yahtzee, of course.
Indeed.
I love a good game of Yahtzee on Board Game Arena. And also Can't Stop, the other one I mentioned, the Sid Sachsen game.
Yep.
They're both there. Really easy to play. In fact, there seems like there's a lot of dice games there. Seasons is another one.
That's right. Yeah, Seasons is there. I think the game that I was most excited about for when it came out was K2.
Yes.
So that only came out probably 6-9 months ago, and fantastic mountaineering game. Mark, you should try and like it. It's really good. And look, probably the biggest one for me, which converted me to this game, is Zolkin the Mayan Calendar.
Yeah, and we both played Zolkin. I think you'd played it a couple of times. I played it the first time. I certainly wasn't sold on it from the physical game, even though the game itself is amazing.
Mm.
But just stuff going on, cogs went to cog on and cog off and all that stuff. It just blew my mind. Look, I've done terribly, let's say. I've come last in every game I've played on Board Game Arena. But I'm actually starting to get the idea.
Yeah. Now,
and
this
the
game...
fact that you can play it like again and again and again really helps you build up that muscle memory of how to play a game.
Exactly right. And I certainly enjoy it for the very same reason. I also like the fact that I can go and have my turn and stop because, you know, I think it's a game that almost encourage well that, that is better for that because there's so much downtime in the actual physical game that it's great to be able to take it and leave it. Now, that also brings up one of the challenges of these games is when you've got 10 or 15 games on the trot, how do you remember what the hell you're doing? Yeah. The great thing is it has a little notepad area where you can just write, you know, your strategy or your plan or I just did this or something like that. So you can get a bit of an idea for it. So there's a whole bunch of them. There's Tash Kalar, another Vlada game, which is out there. Seasons, as you mentioned. Kalis, which is a really highly regarded game that you've talked about. We're sort of starting our first game. Yes. And I chatted you to say, hey, do you mind teaching me this? And
Garth, if I knew how to play that game, I could teach it to you.
Yeah. So only now, 5 minutes before we walk into the studio, do you say, oh, yeah, well, I know there's this and this and this, which has basically made my last three turns completely redundant. But, oh, I haven't really read the rules.
I haven't. I've only read that section about the Provost, as I said. But, you know, Kalis, I don't know if it was the first worker placement game, but it really was the first sort of big Euro worker placement game that brought that genre to the forefront, I guess. Yeah. And, you know, another one that's on there at the moment, Stone Age, plays really well on there.
Yeah, it does.
There's even some of the, like, the co-op games, like Saboteur.
Yep.
I can't think of the other one I was thinking of, but there are a lot of games on there.
Well, there are, and I think it does really well in that it bridges the gap between playing games that you have no idea about and playing games that you know really well. So really well, you can dive straight in and it doesn't allow you to make illegal moves.
Yeah.
So that's great. But it also, on every single board game page, it's got links to BGG. It's got video reviews and how-tos from a lot of the Dice Tower people and others. So it certainly goes out of its way to try and teach you. Because it's got the live chat mechanism as well, you can always ask questions in-game if you're playing against people that, you know, that are happy to teach.
Yeah.
But also, as you said, with Through the Ages, you can always sort of go through and treat things like a learning game.
Hmm.
And it just allows you to play competitively because you don't want to be playing a game and end up coming last by 100 points, which I have done in Seasons because I got no bloody idea what goes on with that game. But it does bridge the gap really well because you can't make an illegal move. You've always sort of finish your turn knowing, oh yeah, I figured out how that worked.
Yeah.
And that's something I liked about it because I'm concerned with, I guess, Tabletopia that's coming out soon is because it's just a live 3D implementation of a board, you don't actually have to follow the rules.
Yes.
You can just do, it's all, you know, whatever. So I'm not particularly excited about that personally because I'd like to know that I'm doing the right thing. I also like the fact that it's got tournaments, this website. So you can register and play tournaments. Now, they are all real-time, so you have to be ready and able to play the games right there and then. But they're all done in an elimination way. They normally only have about 32 people max, and they very quickly windle down to the semifinals and finals. So you're generally only playing for an hour or two of real-time.
Yes.
And I think that's a really good option for a lot of people.
Have you entered any?
I haven't, actually, because being in Europe, most of them are done at inconvenient times for me. But I think you have, haven't you?
I think I went in one. Was it Race for the Galaxy? And I think the problem was is that, you know, had the one game and then I had to go to bed or go to work or whatever. And then by the time I came back again, it was all over.
Yep.
So I think you've got to be committed to be there for the whole time. And obviously on the shorter games, it's much easier than on the longer games.
Yeah.
Look, I do love how with a game like, say, Race for the Galaxy, you can crank out a real-time game of Race for the Galaxy in sort of half an hour or less.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's great for getting through numbers of games, as we said, to learning. So Board Game Arena, I highly recommend it.
Definitely.
I also recommend, as I said, Yukata.de. There's a couple of other ones. I know Brettspielwelt is a German one. I haven't been there for ages because I remember when I looked at it back in my early days of Board Game Geek, it was all in German.
Yeah.
And there weren't translations. There may be now.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of other ones to mention. Days of Wonder, they have a few of their games on their own website that you can play for free.
Yep.
A strange one, but there's a website where you can play the game of Brass by Martin Wallace,
awesome.
A sort of an economic Euro.
Yep.
Just that game.
That's it.
There's always lots of games going on. Actually, I remember Carl and I got on there and played a few games of their own, got the hang of that game, and then sort of gave up because it's hard. But, you look, there are a few different ones there. Check it out, but Board Game Arena and Yukata, I recommend both of them, particularly for learning some of those great games.
Yeah, definitely. And there is a whole wiki on Board Game Geek dedicated to the various websites that you can use. I'm sure, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that boardspace.net or something like that has a couple of really cool ones like Tammany Hall and Euphoria as well. A couple of good games there that have only come out in the last couple of years with that, as which is nice because they're good games.
Yeah, and I remember even before I discovered Yukata, there was another one where I started playing Hoity Toity, which is one of the first ever Euro games that I learned. I don't know if it's still there, but there's a few out there. So check them out. Board Gaming Online, we think that's a great way to continue with our hobby.
We sure do.
We can listen to some music, and we'll be back to tell you about a very special year in Garth's life.
Aww. Hi, this is Jenny from Yeah Science. If you like your science on the air, please support Edge Radio and go to edgeradio.org.au/supporter.
That was the Muddy Turds with the Busted Fridge Blues. Another Tassie act, and that was from their Ranger file album, Mark.
Yeah, now speaking of Rangerole...
Hey, you remembered my joke!
Or, as we should say, Ragnarole.
Yes.
That, of course, is the Kickstarter-based game from Jason Kotsiyang from Endgame Games about the Viking, what did Leon describe it as, a cross between Dice Masters and... Vikings, yeah.
Vikings. That'll do.
So it's still going on Kickstarter. It's got 11 days to go.
Yep, homeward stretch now.
Yeah, now, I don't know if many of the listeners out there have jumped on board. It's still got a long way to go. So if you're thinking about getting on board, check it out, Ragnarole on Kickstarter. Still got a ways to go. Could use some good Aussie help to get it over the line. So have a think about that one.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Garth.
Yes.
Something special happened to you.
It did.
In 2008.
Yeah, it did.
And really, it's changed your life forever, hasn't it?
Has it ever? My pant size has gone from a 30-inch to about a 36-inch waist now with all that sitting down I've been doing.
Garth, why don't you tell us a little story? I haven't got a backing track for
you. Oh, what a shame.
Tell us a little story, and I'll drag this out a little bit, but the computer doesn't want to play the game.
That's all right.
Tell us about what happened in 2008.
You want me to start the story? So 2008 was a very seminal year in my life. We had just moved from Sydney to the little sleepy town of Hobart.
No.
And I had the fortunate... I'll say fortunate pleasure of spending a bit more time with my brother-in-law that you know a little bit about. He was a dice man, but he's now not anymore. There we go.
Took me a little while.
Doesn't feel like a show goes by that we don't have this music anymore. But more importantly,
tell us a bit of a story, Garth.
More importantly, 2008 was really the year that I started playing proper games that weren't the traditional games that we all have.
Yes.
I know there were plenty of Christmases where I got my Monopolies and my Trivial Pursuits and Cranium, and I took a foray and got Risk every now and again. But 2008 was when it all really kick-started for me, and I just started writing down a few of the games that I played when I first moved down here, and there was a couple of the big names like Catan and Carcassonne. I did play a crapload of Flux.
Oh, yes, I think we all went through that
stage. So I played a lot of that. A game that I don't know whether most people know about called Mwahaha, which is the game of you're all being evil geniuses trying to take over the world. That was a pretty cool dynamic and certainly a subject for a game that I hadn't heard about at the time.
And let me guess, you were introduced to that game by our friend Joel?
Yes.
Who I believe actually is having a book launch tonight. We did send a little message along to him to say we weren't coming because the show must go on. But good luck, Joel, with your book launch tonight if you're ever listening to this in podcast form.
Exactly right. Now, I also played one of Trent's favourite games, Illuminati, quite a bit.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's got his original 19-diggity-4 edition of that. And I also played a very popular party game that we still like to drag out every so often now, which is Time's Up.
Oh, yes.
Which is a classic game. And because it is so long ago now, my memory gets a bit hazy, but I'm sure I can remember a game of War of the Ring, what would have been a couple of years into moving into Tassie, so it wasn't 2008. But that was probably my first real understanding of games that go, I know this is fun, but I just can't figure out how to make it feel anything except work. But 2008 was a fantastic year for me because it just opened up my eyes to this world that I am now a bit more involved in.
Yeah, and look, what I thought, Garthing, it was such a seminal year for you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we'd have a little bit of a look back, without a backing track, at some of the games of 2008. Now, I must say, this wasn't such a year like 2005 with some of the really highest rank games on Board Game Arena, but there were still a few there to mention.
Yeah.
Let's run through a few of them.
That'd be good.
Now, the first one, now we've sort of explained, it's not right up there in the board gaming ranks because it's such a long, long game. It's from Fantasy Flight, so of course it's complicated and clunky, takes 12 million days to play.
And about as long to set up, I would imagine.
I was going to say, you know, it occurs in the future, and it's almost the future by the time you've finished playing. It is, of course, Android by Dan Clark and Kevin Wilson. Now, we've played this one now a couple of times, really enjoyed it. You know, it's like Blade Runner, the game, almost. It has that theme of androids, biomechs, people in the future, flying around in cars, jetpacks, mining on the moon, and solving a crime. And although not so much solving a crime, but trying to pin the crime on someone else and make sure that your person doesn't get the crime pinned on it. And that mechanic that I love where when you get to draw cards, you get to choose cards that are good for you or that are bad for someone else. And even bad for a particular person, and they know you're drawing them because they come from a particular deck.
Exactly.
I must admit, I love that mechanic. So that's Android by Fantasy Flight. Yeah. One more I will mention, which has played a big part in my gaming history, and I was actually the regional champion for Hobart.
Ooh!
In the Game of Thrones, the card game. Now, that was, of course, the first edition of the living card game. Now, it did come out before then as a collectible card game.
Yep.
But when it was reinvented as a living card game by Fantasy Flight.
And you're wearing the right T-shirt today as well.
Oh, yes. Got my Stark T-shirt on. Mm. Look, I love that game. I wish I had more time to play it. Unfortunately, I think the living card game thing sort of got a bit much for me because I was just buying chapter pack, as they're called, after chapter pack, after chapter pack. I've still got chapter packs that I haven't even opened, and I haven't touched that game in, like, I don't know, 2 years. And, of course, I'll never be able to sell it to someone because they've introduced the second edition and changed a lot. But when I was really getting into Game of Thrones and the books and the TV shows and everything, it just allowed me to sink my teeth into that theme a lot more. Fantastic. So I love that one, Game of Thrones, the card game.
Definitely. Well, let's take a little bit of a sideways step because I don't think you make much of an impression on people, generally speaking, Mark.
I don't.
Yeah, but one of the first times I can remember playing a game with you was when we played Clack, Click, Clack, Lumberjack. Do you remember that game?
Tok Tok Woodman.
No, the original Click, Clack, Lumberjack came out in 2008. Can you believe that?
No, Garth, I have to correct you there, because I own a copy of Tok Tok Woodman. Tok Tok Woodman. So the original game, which came from Korea, was called Tok Tok Woodman.
Yeah.
Then when they created, and I don't know who the company was, because I didn't have it written down on my list, Tok Tok Woodman, they released an English version. That was when they changed the name Click Clack Lumberjack. So I think if you click on that little thing there, bring up that website there, you will see when the Click Clack Lumberjack edition came out. Go down a bit further. I love that game.
Yeah. It's one of the first games I can remember you as a human being.
Tok Tok Tarkine, as we call it here in Tasmania. I don't know. Look, it doesn't say there, does it?
No, because it was 2008.
Yeah, it is. Ah, no, there it was. Anyway, never mind. Look, I don't like dexterity games very much.
No, but I think it's a great game.
I love that game. I really do, and I'm happy to play it any time. Look, another one that is so worthy of mention, you've already mentioned it, actually, in your introduction, but I'm going to mention it again, because for me, 2008 was a long time ago, 7 years ago, in fact. I still think this game is the best party game out there. I've played some others that are almost as good, but R&R Games times up Tidal Recall for me I think I've had the most fun experiences. It's never fallen flat with any group I've ever played it. It combines charades and not trivia, but guessing, you know, movies and TV shows and things like that from words and titles, the team interaction.
Yes.
And, you know, it has a timer. That's why it's called Time's Up. You know, so it really moves fast. I love it. If you've never played Time's Up Total Recall, now there was a first version that came out called Time's Up, and it was more around people.
Yeah.
It doesn't go really well, but Total Recall, where it's like books and movies and TV shows and songs, and there's some other strange things. But look, it is a fantastic game. I'll play it any day. And I do still reckon it's the best party game I've ever played.
Oh, for sure. And it certainly gets better after a few drinks. There's always, there should be the metagame within there, which is how long does it take you before someone just starts doing the thrust action for yes. just a movie. Is it The Godfather? Sure. Yeah, The Godfather, because I'm doing a thrust. But yeah, oh, that is a classic party game and something that I would happily play on every Saturday night. It's awesome.
Absolutely.
But a game, again, that I really, really enjoy, and this is one of the few games, which I say quite a lot, that my partner loves to play is Wasabi.
Oh, yeah.
So Wasabi, the little creating your little tile tableau of different wasabis and ingredients to make there. A lovely little game, very calming, very peaceful. It's not particularly cutthroat, but that was a classic from 2008 because we played it quite a lot.
Yeah, and it was probably in the first five or six games that I ever bought.
Yeah, okay.
I was so impressed by the look of it. It's lovely to look at. It's easy to teach. When I was married, my now ex-wife, she and the kids used to play it too, so it is really accessible.
Definitely.
I have really enjoyed that one, Wasabi. While we're on the W's, I will make a mention of Witcher's Brew.
Yes.
Which was recently, well, it's not expanded, it's not re-implemented even, but we saw it as...
It was reboxed as Broom Service?
Yes, Broom Service, and actually winning. So I should mention, Cold Express won the Kennerspiel this Jahres.
Bullshit!
whereas Broom Service won the Spiel des Jahres.
That's right.
Another game that plays... So The Witcher's Brew, the original, plays great with kids and families as well. Nice, friendly, card-based Euro game. And look, while I'm just running hot here, who can forget a game that... I don't know if you can say changed the face of gaming, but it really came right out of left field. Dixit.
Yes.
Where people were like, what is this? and it blew people away, and it's had a number of expansions. It's got bigger and bigger. Now it's turned into crazy games like Mysterium.
Yep.
But the original Dixit, I loved it. And I pulled it out with people who've never played games before, and they had a ball. And you can play with gamers as well, and they have a ball. And now,
exactly.
with all the expansions and everything, I think I've got three decks of cards. It can play up to 12 people. It's got that amazing art by Maria Cadua.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, then it had extra art added by Piero, who has done a lot of board game art. For me, I like the Cadua art better than Piero. But Asmodee were on a winner when they brought out Dixit in 2008.
Definitely. And it is such a great game to introduce people to a hobby. It's fantastic. Now, I like cars and I like moving fast and all that kind of stuff. And 2008 saw Formula D come out.
Oh, yes.
Now, Formula D is one of the top car racing games, because it's not really a genre that has had hundreds and hundreds of games, but a fantastic game that, again, has had a squillion expansions.
Yes.
Where, really, I love the little individual player boards where you're changing up, shifting up and shifting down, and the different sized dice or the different sided dice to represent your different gears.
Yeah.
The ability to, you know, screw up and mess with other people, the ability to go hard and just really try and scream ahead, try and drag into that corner as fast as you can and keep going around. I think it actually gets the tension of a lot of car races pretty good.
And there's so many expansion tracks.
Yeah.
Either for this one or the... I'm trying to remember whether... It used to be Formula Day, as in DE for Deutschland, and there are a lot of tracks for that.
There
now this
so
new one's
many.
Come out. There's more tracks as well. It is a really fun game.
Yeah, and that's been a game that I think my kids will really enjoy, so I've kept it on the lookout, and if I ever see a copy going for the right price, I'll be on it.
Now, let's talk about a couple of space games
that
came out in 2008. Now, one has achieved a lot of fame. Now, we've all had this discussion where, you know, I don't like this game. I've had a terrible time playing it the times I've played it.
Yep.
This is Tom Vassell's favourite game.
Yeah.
This is one of your favourite games.
It is.
Games.
I love
one
this
of
game.
A previous host on the game's... on the show's favourite game, and that is Cosmic Encounter.
Yes!
Again, by Kevin Wilson and an army of designers from Fantasy Flight Games. Now, obviously, that one has actually been going since, I think, 1978.
Yeah, a long, long, long time.
But the most recent iteration, I think, was the one that came out in 2008. Again, in space, our good friend Vlada Hvatl, from Czech Games,
mm-hmm.
His co-op game with the soundtrack. Again, you know, like a mind bender, Space Alert. I love playing that game where you basically you run through, then you go back and you see what happened, and you always find that you failed.
You see how horribly things went wrong very, very quickly. Oh, come on. You can't skip through Cosmic Encounter so quickly. You've just played it with the wrong people. Yeah. I'm sure of it.
So you guys keep saying.
Yeah. Because this game is absolutely fantastic, justifiably at the top of the list for a lot of people as best game. Got half a dozen expansions. Yeah. I think we'll have to get that to the table. We'll just play that and K2 all night, I think.
I don't know about that. Look, one more space game that is worthy of, well, is very, very
is
worthy of mention. It really took the throne for me of the cooperative with the trader mechanic from Shadows over Camelot, which was from 2005. And that, of course, is Fantasy Flight Games again. They had some really great games this year. Battlestar Galactica, mm-hmm. Corey Konietzka, and again, another army of developers bringing Battlestar Galactica, the new TV show, to life. God, how many expansions has that got?
Yes, too many.
It's just an awesome game.
But yeah, it is, and this is a game that once you get through the setup, especially with a few of the expansions, and you just get round to playing it, it's all about that deception, all about the fact that you are a Cylon, and you're a Cylon, and you're all frackin' Cylons, and I'm the only honest one at this table. But I don't think I've ever had a disappointing game of this. It doesn't matter whether you win or lose. But it does feel awesome as a Cylon to just turn and just make that little move that just destroys the whole game. It's fantastic.
If you're playing it with fans of the show as well, it just takes on a whole different world. Now, Garth, we're almost out of time. You got one or two left?
Yeah, well, look, we can't talk about 2008 with talking about a game that has just spawned genre or card game after card game after card game, which is Dominion.
Yes.
Now, Dominion is just a massive game in our hobby. It's available to play online at playdominion.com. Should be out on iOS soon. Again, a million expansions, but this game is just huge.
Yep.
It's just an epic in the game. It sells millions of copies.
It was the granddaddy of the deck builders.
Exactly.
Donald X. Vaccarino really was onto something then.
Definitely.
Anything else?
Just Stone Age. Stone Age, again, is a really popular game. Great sort of middleweight game to introduce a lot of players to the worker placement style. Fantastic. Really appropriate in the theming. A really big box as well, which just when you bring it to the table and it goes thunk, it looks really, really cool. I think it's a fantastic way to play this game. I love
it. Look, couple ones that I will mention, but I haven't played them a lot. In fact, this one I haven't played at all, but I know a lot of people love it. Ghost Stories. Of course, it's Anton Bowser from Asmodee. Co-op game that's really hard. I would love to get to the table one day. And one final one, the highest ranked game from this year on Board Game Geek, number 15, La Havre by Uwe Rosenberg, building on that sort of Agricola theme of a harbour. I've played it once, was great actually.
Yep.
It is full on, but it's a great game. I'd like to get to the table more. That's about it for 2008, and that's about it for us, Garth.
Yeah.
We've got to get out of here.
We do. We've got to make room for the next host.
We do, but have a great week in gaming, and we will see you all next week.
Bye.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.